Good morning, everyone. You guys sleep okay? What was the least amount of sleep someone got? 2 hours? Any 2 hours in here? No? Three? Four? Five? Six? All right. Wow, you guys, that's pretty good. And then seven and up, I'm assuming. Probably the most someone got was like eight, right? Eight. I don't think any nines in here. Well, that's good. You guys seem well rested, and I'm just excited to walk with you guys in through this passage in Matthew chapter 6. There's so much treasure here that I just want to dig into. But before we start, why don't we take some time to pray and we prepare our hearts before God. Our Heavenly Father, I'm just so overwhelmingly thankful to be here. I just pray for these students. Lord, please work in their lives through your word. I just pray that they can grasp just the truth that is in these passages this week and to see that they need to start where they treasure, and that will lead to everything else. And Father, I pray that they would see that a life that lives for the Lord is truly a joyful life. And so I pray, Father, that you would guide this time. Speak through me. Your Holy Spirit, work through me and work in their lives to understand and grasp your word. So in Christ's glorious name I pray. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And we're going to read to verse 24 today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, all the way down to 24. And this is in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' famous sermon, where people are amazed at the authority of his preaching. And he just talks about the difference between serving others, doing things like fasting, like praying, like giving, doing it for God versus doing it for the praise and approval of others. And after all of that, this is what Jesus says to the crowds. He says in verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Has anyone here heard of Martin Lloyd-Jones? Martin Lloyd-Jones, he is an Anglican preacher or a pastor in England. I just know him because my son... So he sits on the toilet here and there, and we're trying to potty train him. And the book that he likes reading on the toilet, but the book that he really likes is this book about Martin Lloyd-Jones, the doctor who became a preacher. And it's funny because that book is, it's kind of scarily illustrated. The people look kind of scary, and Dr. Lloyd-Jones looks kind of like Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars. He looks like a villain. So, but my son loves it. And so we read it to him. It's just a very simple story of a doctor. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a very, not just any doctor, he was a well-established and brilliant doctor, rising in prominence in his field. And by age of 27, amazingly, he actually gave up his career to be a doctor, and from being a doctor to being a preacher. Like, I can't imagine the sacrifice that someone would have to go through and just the uncertainties that he faced in doing such a thing. But Martin Lloyd-Jones willingly gave up his prominent position as a doctor. Now, a question I want to ask, help prep us for this retreat, is what would make someone like Martin Lloyd-Jones, a prominent doctor, someone who's successful in his field, maybe at the peak of his field, and so much ahead of him, why would he give that up? Why would someone do that? Why would someone sacrifice for the Lord like that in such a joyful way? So that's a big, you know, historical example, but I'm sure you actually have real life examples for you. Think about your pastors. Think about your small group leaders. These people, they sacrifice and they live for the Lord joyfully. What makes them do what they do, right? What makes them so dedicated to the Lord? What makes them want to give up their time, their weekends to serve people and do such a thing like that? And I think making it more practical, even for you, what would make you sacrifice for the Lord? What would make you live for Him joyfully and willingly, no matter what the cost? That's the question I really want to ask this week and work through. How can you live for the Lord without worry and sacrificially? How can you live for the Lord like these people in history and like these people that you know around you? How can that not just be a big story about other people, but about your own life and yourself? How can you overcome your complacency with the Word of God and with the things of God? How can you really strive to read your Bible consistently? How can you strive to actually pray dependently all throughout the day, all throughout the week? How can you worship joyfully? How can you overcome your worries, fight your sins? What does it look like to live for God and do it in such a way that you wouldn't have any other life? And you wouldn't be sad if you had to give up everything. How can you live like that? And Matthew chapter 6 really gives us the answer to this. And the answer to how do these people do it and how can you do it is your treasure. Your treasure is the key, really, to living for the Lord. Because what you treasure will change how you live. Right treasuring leads to right living. And that's the theme of our retreat. And I just want to tell you that when you have a life that's treasuring the Lord, and when you're willing to sacrifice anything for Him, that's not a miserable life. It's actually one of the most joyful, the most freeing lives that you can possibly live. And there really is nothing better when you want to live that way. Not just because it's an expectation, not because your parents want you to, not because you're expected to, but because you want to live for the Lord and you do it. That is truly freeing. And so over this retreat, we're going to talk about that, how to live for the Lord without worry and sacrificially. First, we're going to talk about how to just live for the Lord. And then without worry is going to be our next session. And the last one is going to be sacrificially. And so in this first session, I just want to focus on the question, what do you live for? What do you live for? And according to this passage, your treasure will reveal what you live for. What you cherish, what you treasure, what you store up, that is going to directly affect how you live. And that's why we need to start here. And that's why Jesus starts at this very place. And so the main idea that I want you guys to get is what you treasure will determine if you live for God. What you treasure will determine if you live for God. And we'll have 3 points today. And so our first point that Jesus brings up is to choose your treasure. Choose your treasure in verses 19 through 21. When he talks about the command of storing up treasures in heaven, don't store up treasures on earth. The idea of storing up is you just put things away in a secure location. You know, you put it in a barn or a chest or a secure room. And, you know, when you think about middle schoolers, and I think about you guys, it's not very practical. Like, I don't think you guys have a lot of money and a lot of places to store treasures. Like, anyone here have a lot of investments that they put into? Cryptocurrency, stocks, anything? Not two. That's, you know, some. But really, there's not much that you can store up as a middle schooler. And so is this just completely irrelevant for us? No, I think what Jesus is trying to get at here, when he's talking about treasuring, storing up for yourselves in a certain place, storing up something takes time. It takes effort. It takes your thoughts. And so what Jesus is trying to say is whatever you put your time, your effort, your thoughts, whatever you see as valuable, that is what treasuring is. And so even though you guys may not have all the money in the world to treasure up and store up, you guys still have time. You guys still have thoughts. You guys still have effort that you put into. And where you put those things, that is where your treasure is. And that is what Jesus is talking about. So all of us have treasure. All of us find something valuable and we put our effort and time and focus into. And Jesus is trying to show where you put that is the key. Where is the key? And so first he says where not to put it in verse 19. Where not to put your treasure. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. And the reason why we don't want to put our treasures on earth, Jesus explains, is because physical things, things on earth, they just don't last. They're either destroyed by moth or rust, or they're stolen. There's no guarantee that you're going to have any of the things that you store up on earth. The video games that you spend your time on, the collectibles that you buy, the clothing that you get, the makeup that you get, the relationship that you build, if it's just for the purpose of enjoying it purely on earth, there's no guarantee those things will last. And they're not worth treasuring. One example I can think of, there's a family that came to our church. They actually came from the Eaton fires. They were in that area and their house didn't get burned down, but they had to leave and move out of their house. Their business and livelihood was destroyed and they lost pretty much everything. They had to uproot their lives. All that they thought they had is now shifted and gone in a moment. Moth and rust destroy. Things on earth do not last. One other example I have is we have a relative in the Philippines and he built this ginormous house. I remember going there as a kid. It was a mansion, 7 rooms, 7 bathrooms, like amazing granite and stone and everything like that. A giant dance floor in there where people can have parties. But you know what happened to that relative? He got sick and he's in a nursing home and he can't even live in that house. My mom passed by the house recently and it's old and run down and no one's living in it. Moth and rust destroy. Thieves break in and steal. Things on earth do not last. So don't store up your treasures here. And Jesus gives the positive of where to store up your treasures in verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. See, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's things attached to God, things that are eternal and lasting. They're never going to be destroyed by moth. They're never going to be stolen by anyone. And the question I have to ask is, what are these things? What are the things that I store up in heaven? In the context of Matthew, I think Jesus actually helps us out with this. Look in Matthew 6, verse 4. When he's contrasting people who sound a trumpet when they give to the poor, he says that they're going to get praised by men and the reward is in full. But look what Jesus says when we do it in private. It says, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Go down to verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And it's the same thing about fasting, that God who sees in secret will reward you. The treasures in heaven is really the rewards that come from God. And Matthew 25:21 in the servant, where Jesus, or the master says to the servant, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with little, and I will entrust you with much. Enter into the joy of your master. See, that's what the eternal treasures Jesus is talking about. It's things that last into eternity. It's God's eternal approval and joy of you. That at the end of your life, God looks at you and says, I approve of the works and the things that you did. And that lasts into eternity. And that he gives rewards in light of that. On top of the salvation he gives rewards. And not only that, it's eternal life and joy and happiness in the things that you invested in eternity. See, that's what eternal treasures are. They're things that last. They're things that if no one acknowledges on this earth, you'll still do it because you know God saw it. God acknowledges it. And God will reward in the future. That's eternal treasures. And so the end goal of the things that you do has to be into the future, into the kingdom, into that which lasts. And how do you store up lasting treasure? What does it look like? You know, like it's kind of so abstract and arbitrary. There's a verse that really helps us. Go to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. It is all about rich people. And they have riches and wealth. And Paul's instructing them what to do. And in here we see a glimpse of what it means to store up treasures in heaven. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. It says this. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Don't store up treasures on earth. That's what he's saying to the rich. But on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Here's the key, verse 19. Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. So what it looks like for you to do, to store up treasures in heaven, lasting eternal things, is to do good works that are approved by the Lord. That it builds a foundation for the future that you will enjoy forever. That for the rich, it's not just to become poor, but it's to give with their wealth, to do something with it, to invest in people, to help others, and it lasts for eternity. And so for you to do good works, to treasure things in heaven, would be to do things like evangelism. It means to share the gospel with people, because if they get saved, their souls will last into eternity. Do you see how that works? When you put the effort into evangelism, their souls last forever. They're saved forever. They experience eternal life forever. That's treasures in heaven. When you think about sanctification for yourself, the work that you pour into growing in Christ-likeness, grow in being more like Jesus, see, that lasts into eternity, because all of eternity is being like Jesus. That you're prepping yourself for what your life will be in the future. And when you invest in your friend's life to help them look like Jesus, those that are sitting around you, even right here, right now, when you encourage them, build them up, and they grow to be more like Jesus, that lasts into eternity. It lasts. And even God's glory, even if you just act and you show and reflect the goodness of who God is to those around you, people see God's glory, and God's glory will last into eternity. See, that is what it looks like to store up treasures in heaven. And I love this, because it's so, you can be so creative with it. You can still have cards, Pokemon cards. You can still get into clothing and dance, but for the purpose of connecting with people and the purpose of building relationships that can last into eternity and sharing the gospel and being a witness and being a light of God's glory. You can still do things like sports. And again, build relationships with people there. And even in your sports, having a good attitude that reflects God's glory, people see that, that lasts into eternity. That is what storing up treasures in heaven looks like. And it won't be a waste. But there's something more important than just, okay, the things that I do will last forever. Jesus actually kind of gets to the heart of the matter here. Because the reason why it's so important to store up treasures in heaven is because what you treasure reveals who you really are. It reveals who you really are. Look with me back in Matthew 6 in verse 21. It says, in light of all of that, for the reason you need to store up your treasures in the right place, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So the heart, that's the core of who we are. Proverbs 4:23 says that the heart is, from it flow the springs of life. Everything flows from the heart. It's the core of who you are. Your thoughts and your emotions, everything is in your heart. That controls you. But what Jesus is saying is something controls your heart. Something controls the core of who you are, that controls everything else in your life. And it's what you treasure, what you find most valuable, most precious. And so whatever you find most precious, most valuable, that's going to drive your heart. And then your heart is then going to drive your lives, your actions, your words, your thoughts, and everything else. So when you cherish something, you're going to think about that thing. You're going to spend time on that thing that you love. You're going to have actions towards it. You're going to have emotions towards it. All of it will follow. It's just like, you know, if you have a video game and you really enjoy that video game and it's something that you really cherish and you throw a lot of time into it, a lot of effort, a lot of even money maybe, you're going to be thinking about it. You're going to be watching more videos on it to see more of how you can play it better. And you're going to keep on investing your time. It's going to keep on going. Your treasure of that game will drive all of your other actions in that way. And you can fill in the blank with whatever else it may be. But that is why your treasure is important, because it drives everything that you do. And I love what Jesus does here. He says, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Often when he says you, it's plural. He's talking to everybody. But Jesus says it in singular here. He's like, he's going to the heart. He's talking directly to you personally. He's asking you, what is personally your treasure? What do you find most worth spending your time on, your thoughts on, everything on? What is your treasure? And that's what you need to assess right here, right now. What is that thing that you spend most of your resources on? Because that is your treasure. What do you love? What do you guard? What do you store? What do you spend time on? Is it earthly? Or is it something eternal? And I just want to give a warning. Even you can do church things. Oh, I spend a lot of time at church. I do a lot of things like that. But you can even do those things with earthly treasure. The earthly treasure being just having friends, having approval by people, your parents, or those around you. You can do church things and things for God just because you want things on earth. Again, the question is all the things you do, is it for the purpose of lasting into eternity? Where is your treasure? And Jesus is saying, choose where your treasure is. Choose, because your whole life will be guided by it. So that's the first point, choose your treasure. And the next point is actually to help us figure out where our treasure is. It's examine our eyes. Examine your eyes. Verses 22 through 23. So my wife is an optometrist, so she'll really like this point. Get your eyes examined. Get your eyes checked. It's important. Get your eyes checked. It's good. There's a lot of diseases you may not know you have, so just do it. Anyways, let's read verse 22 to 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Then the light that is in you is darkness. How great is the darkness? So how does this relate to treasures? How does this even, like, seems so random. He starts talking about your eye. See, this verse, this passage is sandwiched in between treasure and treasure. It's still talking about treasure. What Jesus is saying is what you look at reveals your treasure as well. And many people don't know kind of what this verse means, me included. And I think it's because it's often badly translated. So if you have ESV, it says that if your eye is healthy, NESV says if your eye is clear. That's actually not the word. The word means sincere, simple. If your eye is sincere versus if your eye is not just bad, like it's a bad quality eye, but it's an evil eye. It's not about if your eye is doing something good, if your eye is in good health. It's if your eye is doing something good, like being sincere, or doing something evil. So I'll reread it in verse 22. So then, if your eye is sincere, your whole body will be full of light. And it makes a lot more sense in that way, because what Jesus is saying, if you have a sincere eye that's motivated by a single purpose, your body will do everything else right. Your actions will follow. And what it means by an eye being sincere is that when you look around, you're not always looking enviously at other things. When you're looking around, you're just enjoying and taking in the things that you see, and you're not wanting more, because the opposite is an evil eye. And that's often used to describe a covetous eye. That's actually what Matthew 20:15 says. It talks about eye, uses the same word, and says it's a covetous eye, wanting more. And so if you have an evil, covetous eye, then the actions that you have will follow that, and your body will be bad as well. Proverbs 28:22 illustrates this principle. Man with an evil eye hastens after wealth. A covetous eye looks around, wants more, never satisfied, hastens after wealth. Proverbs 21:4, haughty eyes and a proud heart. The lamp of the wicked is sin. That's the same picture Jesus is talking about here, the eye being the lamp. What you look at will determine how you live. I know it for myself too. I know the difference when I'm walking in the mall and I'm enjoying time with my family. I'm just looking around, taking in and enjoying that. And I know when I'm looking covetously at the things that other people have. I know in my heart when it's boiling and it's thinking lustfully and looking for things to lust after. There's a difference. And your eye really determines what you are treasuring. That's what Jesus' point is in verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great the darkness. So if your eye does evil things, which is the lamp, then the body will also be evil and be dark. So how does that apply to you? Looking at people, like with their clothes, and being jealous, and always looking at status. Maybe you're looking around and you're seeing, look at all these people, they have relationships. Look at all their friendships. And you're always thinking, I want that. Oh, I want that. I wish I had that. How come they get that? See, that's an evil eye. That's an eye that is treasuring something else. And what that leads to is that leads you to steal. If you keep looking at something that you want in the store again and again and with a covetous eye, you're going to eventually steal it. If you look and you see that people are getting something that you think you deserve, then you're going to be angry. You're going to be jealous. Or you'll be anxious that, oh, what if I don't add up? What if, look at all these people and what they have. It's so much better than me. And you'll be anxious about yourself in that way. You see, Jesus is so wise. What you look at reveals what you treasure. And how you look at things also reveals at what you treasure. So if you spend hours and hours just shopping, looking for new clothes, looking for all those things, that's where you're treasuring something. If you're just watching videos and videos and videos on just nothing or just video games or whatever else it might be, that's what you're treasuring. And so if you have sincere eyes that just simply look and accept, look at God's creation. Look at the work that God is doing in others. Look at the blessings that he's given me. That reveals your treasure is in heaven. That you're satisfied with God. That you're satisfied with the things that he gives. But if your eye is looking, always wanting more, it's an evil eye. And your treasure is in the wrong place. And so, choose your treasure. And then examine your eyes. What are your eyes looking at? And lastly, choose your master. Choose your master in verse 24. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. And this really is for the person who's trying to have a loophole in the system. Well, okay, what if I just split my treasures? What if I treasure some in heaven, some on earth? Diversify, right? Isn't that good? I'm supposed to diversify my treasures, and if one fails, it's good and bad. I can just do half. But you can't do that. You can't just, I'm going to serve Jesus, and I'm going to serve God, or I'm going to serve the things of earth. I'm going to treasure God and treasure the things on earth. No, the reason why in verse 24, it says, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot, unable to serve God and wealth. Wealth being not just money, but any type of material thing. Any type of thing that's on earth. And so the problem with trying to serve both is that what if the two masters that you're trying to serve are complete opposites? What if they're opposites? What if they're a different nature entirely? Like, maybe you guys have had parents that are different and you try to, you know, they're exact opposite. Clean your room. No, don't clean your room. It's really hard to serve both at the same time because they're opposing in that way. Or you have different teachers, different expectations, and you try to serve one and then you clash with the other. Right? It's because if they're opposite, they're incompatible. And that's the same thing when it comes to God versus wealth, versus God versus material things, is that they are of two different natures. They're on complete opposite ends of the spectrum. And the thing is, you will always gravitate towards one or the other. You can't physically serve both, not because you don't have enough time, but because your nature, who you really are, what you truly treasure, will gravitate towards one versus the other. God will give a command, and then material treasures will give the exact opposite command. God will say, it's better to give than to receive. And treasures, it says, no, it's better to get. God will say, love your enemies. Material treasures will say, punish those who take away what you deserve. So you see, they're opposite, and they will always be at odds. And the thing is, you will always gravitate towards one or the other based on what you truly love, what you truly treasure. And that way you will love one and be devoted to one, or you will hate and despise the other. It's because they're opposite. And you have a true desire in your heart. Depending on what that true desire is, you will gravitate towards God to serve him and have eternal treasure, or you'll gravitate towards earth and material things and serve that. And it's because your nature or your desires is ultimately tied to your nature, to who you are. And what I mean by nature is you're either alive in Jesus Christ or you're dead in sin. Those are the two options for the natures that you can have. We start off all dead in sin. And when we're saved, we're alive in Christ. We have a new nature. And that way we have new desires. And so if you have a dead heart, you still haven't been converted, you're going to find that serving material things just feels better to you. Just feels more enjoyable to you. And trying to serve God, you might try to read your Bible, you might try to live for him, but it just doesn't scratch the itch. It just doesn't feel as good. And then if you have new life, you'll be serving the Lord and you'll find that to be satisfying. It'll be hard at times because you wrestle with your sin, but you truly, genuinely find satisfaction and joy in that. And then when you sin and maybe you go off into a season of sin, you'll still find, this sin is just so icky and gross. I can't stay in it. I must go back. Because of your new nature, no matter how much sin you get into, you don't like serving that master anymore. You don't like serving him. And so that's why you can't serve both. You have a nature, either dead or alive, and that will then have certain desires associated with it. And those desires will either align with God and gravitate towards him and love the commands that he gives and loves the ways that he calls you to serve him, or you're going to love the commands that material things give and serve that and gravitate towards that. And so what I love about this is when Jesus says you cannot serve God and wealth, he's not just talking about, you know, when he's storing up treasures in heaven, he's not just saying, okay, all the things that God gives in heaven, just love those things. What he's ultimately boiling it down to is love God. Treasure God. And in a great sense too, treasure Christ, who reflects his Father perfectly. That you're either going to treasure God or you're going to treasure material things. And so what master do you truly love? That's the question for you today. What's the thing that you truly gravitate towards serving? Is God the thing that you love, that you genuinely say, I enjoy this? Or is God just something that you're apathetic to? I just got to do it. It's just what I do. What my parents want me to do. I try to, but it just feels like a burden. Those that are born of God, God's commandments are not burdensome to them because of that new nature, because of those new desires. And again, the desire that you have, it's tied to your nature. And you can't change your nature. That's the thing. If you're dead, you can't change your deadness. And that's why you need Christ to change you. That's why you need Christ to come. That's why he died and he rose again. It's so that those who believe in him, their old self dies, and then they have a new self risen to life with Christ Jesus. So they have new natures, so that they can actually serve God because they love him. And they're devoted to him because of their desires. So today, if you're an unbeliever, what you need to do and recognize, okay, what do you treasure? If you find that you are stuck and you really do treasure the things on earth, and you know that maybe you're not in Christ, what I ask for you to do is call for Christ to change your treasure. Recognize what I treasure is wrong, and I can't change it. I don't have the strength to do it. And ask that he would do that transformation in your life, because he is willing and he is powerful and he can. It's not to just say, let me just try to fix it. I need a complete renovation of everything that I am. If you don't know Christ, just simply look to him and believe that he is a sufficient savior and that he can do that work. And then from that, you can have a new nature that loves and cherishes God as your master, and you can treasure the right thing. And if you're a believer, and you say, okay, I do treasure Christ, I do treasure God, but I do struggle, what we need to do is to repent of the things that we hold on to. Repent of those things that we've savored too much in this life. Too much of that. And what we need to do is turn to our master. Turn to Christ and behold his goodness. Behold his glory. Look at how the Bible reveals him. The kindness, the grace, the love, the mercy that he gives. And when we actually look more at Jesus, we're transformed to look more like him and to have the same desires that he does. And that service becomes more delightful to God. And it becomes more delightful to us. And so for those that are believers here, I encourage you, as young believers, start investing in treasures early. Start reading, because you want to behold the glory of Christ, be transformed, and to grow in a greater treasuring of him, and thus a greater treasuring of eternal things. And then your life will follow. Let your prayer habits invest in that and commune with the Lord, because the more you commune with him and see his goodness and pray to him, the more you will treasure him. And invest in relationships for eternal purposes. That be in the places where people are going to care about your souls, care about you beholding and looking more like Jesus Christ. And it will help your treasure be on God more. And so to wrap up, again, your treasure will determine if you live for God. Your treasure will determine if you live for God. So what do you treasure? What do your eyes look at? What do you find yourself spending your time on? What master do you find yourself loving? And so this is the starting point. Choose to serve God. Choose to serve Christ. Choose him as your treasure, as your master, because he's a far better master than any material thing can offer. If you treasure Christ, if you see it and see it, that is worth it. I want to spend my time thinking about him. I want to spend my time reading his word, praying to him, thinking about him, talking about him, treasuring him. The rest of your life will follow. You'll make sacrifices for the Lord. You'll see things, as we'll talk about later, make sacrifices for him, like Martin Lloyd-Jones. Maybe not exactly like that, but whatever God calls you to. And you'll also even be free from worry as well. And so we'll talk more about it, but right now, just ask, where is your treasure? I beg you, choose Christ. Choose Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious and glorious Father, I'm so thankful for how convicting and wise the words that your Son has spoken, piercing our hearts. Lord, what we find most valuable just easily guides our lives, so help us to address it at that level. And help us to confess the things that are off, confess the things that are wrong, and know that you are in the business of changing us and transforming our desires to be more like your Son, and so that we can treasure you more and so we can live for you more. So help us in that way. Guide us, Lord. I pray that the kids have good discussion, that they ask questions, they work through these, that they wrestle in their hearts, they're honest. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to build a foundation for the rest of their lives. In Christ's glorious name I pray. Amen.